I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. As you turn there, let me just set up this message. I know we just had a great rodeo. We had the largest crowds we've ever had. We had a road that was a one-laner till about 4 o'clock on Friday. And I mean, just traffic and parking hundreds of vehicles, putting on one of the most professional. I told him, man, that with our announcer, my friend Jody Carper, I've known him since we were little, and that's the reason that God. But I've also known TC Long and his family since we were little too, and. With the announcer and then that video board that is so professional, and our music guy. And I know. All the young people loved how loud it was, and all the old people were like, turn it down. I told Jody secretly, tell old Will, because he's my buddy, that there's some old people that, you know, their hearing aids are up a lot, and so just a little loud, maybe we just turn. But it didn't matter because, you know, again, all those old people that said it was too loud come back the next night anyway. But we're trying to help people out. But, you know, it's a rodeo and it's supposed to be fun. And so it doesn't matter what it is. But there's just issues with all kinds of things. And then there's the help in the back. And like Gary said, our sound man, he was in the back, and you know, and you sort when everything comes in, and I would tell him, hey, unwrap the team rope and steers and the steer rope and steers, and I mean, it's just chaotic, and then, you know, you got the bulls in the back, and so you're trying to get steers and calves across and bulls in the pen, and it's really important. I mean, say amen if you agree, but it's really important not to get run over by a bull. And I mean the logistics in the back and our production meetings and everything that goes on with a very professional rodeo, the way it's produced, it's not a little rinky-dink, as you could tell if you were there. It's not a rinky-dink rodeo now. It's not a little old open rodeo where you pray to God contestants will show up, because they don't have to when it's open. They just enter, and then if they don't want to show up for whatever reason, they don't. But then when you make it professional with an association, the oldest association in the world, professional-wise rodeo, professional rodeo association, or whatever it is, PRCA, Cowboys Association, and then Cowgirls, we added the barrel racing and the breakaway, and that's a different association, WPRA, and they have to show up. And if they don't show up, then they're fined or they have to doctor a lease if they're hurt. There's a procedure. So it's a very professional event. But with being professional, there's a lot of stress. I mean, I was the outgate man in the bronc riding, you know, and you have to watch because the pickup men are trying to get a rider off a horse and then get a hold of the saddle bronc rein. Get the horse slowed down, and they've got to take off that flank. It's a really cool thing that goes around the flank, but that's designed to make a horse kick, and that's what causes them to buck, buddy. And it's very gentle on them. Animal rights people don't understand it, but that's why you have a flank trap, because it's designed. It tickles that flank, and it just causes them to kick, boy, and buck. Well, you got to wait till the flank's off. And then there's a back flank strap that they got to get off before you open the gate. So I've got to pay attention. I don't want to open it before it's time. But then when it's time, you get that thing. And there's lots of stress, man, because you don't want to make a mistake. The guys in the back are pushing up cattle, and they have to put them in order of how they're drawn. And they've all got numbers and the steer open. It took us a good while to brand 130 or 40 steers so that, and then ear tag them with the same number so that they could tell what number to get in order. And I mean, it's stressed because you don't want to put an animal out of order. I mean, that's the flow of a rodeo, is they know which guy comes first, which girl comes in order, and the number of the cattle that was drawn by judges. And I mean, there's a lot of stress, right? You get to the parking lot, and I mean, you're trying to direct people, and half of them don't want to be directed. They want to just go where they want to go because they're used to not being directed. And I went down there on a tractor, and I told our group that was parking people, I said, there might be a time when you get in the middle of the street, just like those protesters shutting down. Get in the middle of the street and just dare them to run you over. They've got to obey you and go where they're supposed to go. Then you got the concession folk. And they got to get those people in line. And half of them don't use cash anymore, so it's a credit card and it takes a little time. And by golly, they want that Gatorade and that Reese's cup. There could be some stress that goes along. Then we got the announcer and the music man working together with the video board professional. And they got to do everything on a time. And man, it can get stressful. In the meantime, by the way, you are still having to be a husband. You're still having to be a wife. You're still having to be a child that obeys your mom and dad when they tell you to get home at 12 o'clock and it's 12:30. Seth's not here this morning. My wife and daughter and Seth are headed to Miami, Texas, about 8 hours to the north to Jamie's sister's daughter's graduation. And it's very important. And I needed to stay here because this is my job. There's lots of stress, man. In 1 Peter chapter 5, God deals with all the chaotic things of life. Everything you could go through, even if it's a financial thing that you're struggling with right now, if it's a health issue, that things are just happening in your body that maybe you don't understand, you have some pain here and there, all of these things are designed by the enemy to make you give up, to make you go away from God, to make you start doing things that you know better to do, like drinking and a lot of people do drugs, and then before you know it, that addictive spirit, which is a devil, then attacks and causes people to be addicted to things that no one else even knows about, but probably their closest friends and family. Stress, man. The busyness of this world, wow. Chaotic in our government, where we have one party that they'll tell you point blank that they don't want to have anything to do with God. Then you have the other party that, man, they love God. And they'll tell you that's their platform. You could just go to the platform of each party and see what they believe. One party is pro-life, pro-family. They believe in the way God created us in a marriage between a natural-born man and a natural-born woman. You got to say it that way. Isn't it amazing? How we're so confused in our minds, and then preachers are so afraid to get up here behind a podium and tell the truth of the Word of God in the fear of losing a 501c3. Well, y'all know my opinion on that. Yo mama. Because I don't care. I'm going to preach this Word no matter what. Yes, they've taken me off of YouTube a time or two. Because I dare say anything about a vaccine that was based on fear. And I begin to preach about the spirit of fear, how God didn't give us that spirit. The spirit of fear, He gave us the spirit of power, love, and a soundness of mind. Okay? There's got to be more preachers that have boldness to just preach the Word of God without fear. And then we have a group that's trying to push that we don't even know what a woman is. We can't define it. All these things. Matter of fact, the confusion of men wanting to be women and women wanting to be men is not how God created us. And there's got to be someone with the boldness out of love, because we're not wrestling. Listen to me carefully. We are not wrestling against the flesh and blood. We're wrestling against the spirit that is behind it. The spirit of darkness, the Bible says, that is causing people to be confused. Well, this is how I feel, like I'm supposed to be, have been created, when God didn't create you to be something that you're not. And we've got to be able to tell the truth, but not in a hated way to where we're directing it at the person, because we're not. You got to direct it at the spirit that's behind the confusion of the people. It's just like someone that's going to go start robbing, and you're seeing it all over the country, right? I mean, you don't want to go in some cities that are big, because they may rob you right there and then get out of jail that night with no bail. You know, and things like that are happening. Woo, it's causing stress. Then the body of Christ, on the other hand, is not wanting to be persecuted because of what the Word of God says. So it seems like we back up, like the days of Babylon. We back up and we let prayer get taken out of school because we don't want to make a fuss. And we just kind of keep backing up, even though we're serving God. He's still the Lord of our life. We begin to back up instead of being bold Christians standing on the principles of God in love. And all of this, y'all, causes lots of stress. Lots of things. Well, look what 1 Peter begins to say in verse 7, chapter 5. It says, casting all, say all. Say it a little bit louder, y'all. All. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Well, that's something we need to think about, because a lot of times we think God's so mad at us that He's causing sickness and disease to come on us to teach us a lesson. You remember the story of my lawn and landscape equipment trailer got stolen by a guy that I trusted. I went out of town and I told him, hey, we lived in San Angelo, and I said, hey, I need you to go and mow 3 Whataburgers, 2 Burger Kings, and that will be a full day for you, and then another guy. And I had to go out of town. I don't even remember what I was doing. But when I came back, the truck that was mine, the trailer that had riding mowers, there was front-end mowers, a 48-inch front-end mower, there were belly mowers, there was weed eaters, there was blowers, there was gasoline, there was a trailer, and there was a truck that were gone when I got back. I couldn't find them. The guy wasn't answering his phone anymore. I found the truck in Big Spring. He had drove it to Big Spring, got into a big truck and headed way to the northeast. The trailer we couldn't find for about 3 days. And finally, a policeman friend of ours said, I found your trailer. The guy had pawned it for $300 at the pawn shop, and it was behind in the back. Why the pawn owner would have pawned all of that stuff as if he was going to keep it. He lost $300, of course. So we went and got the trailer, and the cop went with us. But here's the story. A friend of mine came to me and said, Corey, I want you to think about something. He said, the Lord was probably teaching you a lesson by causing that to happen. And I don't mind the first part. The Lord was teaching me a lesson. I do find some issue with God caused it. Here's the rule, y'all. This is how the Word of God teaches. This is how I teach. God is good. Say it with me. God is? The devil is bad. So say it again. God is good. The devil. That's why John 10:10 says the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. It didn't say God. It didn't say God's going to put cancer in you to teach you a lesson. Doesn't say that God's going to humble you. Do you realize that's nowhere in the Word? People try to make it up. Yeah, there's a part of humbleness. No. God will not humble you. The Bible says humble yourself. You humble yourself. God's not going to beat you up for doing something wrong. No, he sent Jesus so you'd have grace and mercy and forgiveness. The key is not doing what you're doing that's wrong. Stop doing it. Live by God's ways of doing things. If you do mess up, then there's grace and mercy. Turn away from that sin and throw that. God then throws the sin because of forgiveness into the sea of forgetfulness. What a wonderful God. Amen. He don't remember all the things I did in college. Thank God. So here it says, cast in all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Look at the next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, okay, who's that? It's not God. God is not your adversary, y'all. He's the one that sent his son for you. He's the one that, the son Jesus, that needs to be the Lord of your life, conquered death, conquered hell, conquered the grave, praise God. He's the one that conquered everything so that now you and I, in the name of Jesus, can conquer anything. You're more than a conqueror through Christ because he loves you. You can do all things through Christ because he gives you strength, you see. Okay, so it says, be sober, vigilant, because that adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Man, God's just... But look at verse 10 too. But the God of all grace... who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus in the King James, after that ye have suffered a while, makes you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I like 10 in the Amplified version of the Bible because it says this. And after you have suffered a little while, and don't get all confused about that word suffer, because, I mean, man, think about Jesus. When he uses the word suffer, he came from heaven to a place called earth. And he went through a whole lot. And you might call that suffering, but you and I got, we may be suffering because we live in a world that's fallen, but we don't have to live of it. Okay? So it says, after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish you and ground you securely, strengthen you, and settle you. Do I need to read that again? Or did you get it? But look. Verse 7 is the key as well. And I'm going to give you about four things you got to get a hold of. The first thing to understand that you serve a God that's good and not bad is he died for a reason. To, number one, allow you to cast every care upon him. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's tests at school, if it's the finals, I hope I can remember what I've studied. Or if there's issues in marriages, if you're going through some tough times of divorce, if finances are tough right now because of Bidenomics, or... Okay, I'll go on. Let me get back over here. Whatever it is, what if you're in the stock market? What if you shorted the stock market? It's gone over 40,000, y'all. It just went up. And here we're thinking it's probably going to go down. What if gold and silver just continue to rise and you, maybe you own some. That's a good thing. The point is whatever the care is in this world, it's important to cast it over on the one that died for that care. Cast all your care upon him. Here's the second thing that I see in verse 8 when it says, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. How many of you know we need to be balanced? I remember several years ago when the Lord just gave me a mandate to start teaching biblically for 5 minutes every single Sunday, and then when I'm gone, I have the ministers here, as y'all know. Howdy, Ricky, and Rusty Feltz. All three of those ministers do exactly what I do, is they teach on finances. But man, when I started teaching on finances, half the crowd loved it, and then I would get a few messages of, oh, why do you got to talk about money again? And I knew when you start getting those kind of things that anybody that gripes about teaching on finances are people that don't give. They're the people that have not gotten a hold of tithing or giving offerings. I ain't giving my hard-earned money. And all we're doing is just, here's what the Word says. So you have the will to either receive it or not. Man, what a great God we serve. That if you sin, you made the choice to do it. But you can also make the choice, because God gave us a will, right? He's such a gracious God that we can say no to sin, we can say yes to it. It's the same with the principles of the Word of God. You can say, nope. I'm not going to give my hard-earned money. I think that preacher is just trying to get it from me so he can buy a new Rolls Royce, remember? That's what I heard growing up. Or you find some preacher on TV that doesn't have time to teach the whole Word of God in balance. But here God's wanting us to be balanced. So when they would come to me and say, yeah, you know, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. Well, then I got to correct them, as y'all know. No, it doesn't say that. It says the love of it. God, but why would the enemy not want us to teach on finances? What does the Bible say? It's because the devil doesn't want you. He wants you to be in debt. He wants that worry to always be on you of not being able to pay your bills. Where God's giving you a way of escaping those kind of things. He wants you to be balanced. That's why the third John says this, I wish above all things that you prosper. Look up the word prosper. Why don't y'all start digging into the word? Prosper means material things. So he's saying, hey, I want you to prosper. I delight myself on the prosperity of the servants. But don't stop there. He wants you to prosper and be in health. So he wants your bodies. Because if you're sick, you're not balanced. If you're broke, that curse of money, if you're broken in lack, that's not balanced. But then the third part is, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul, your mind, will, and emotions prospers. So God wants you to live in a balance, see. He wants you to be cautious at all times that the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So don't put your head in the sand, in other words. You've got to be out there watching, because there's a devil roaming. He's looking. Ah, can I get that woman right there? No. Well, he can if you let him. But if you start saying, get thee behind me, Satan. And you start saying, Father, I thank you, Lord, that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the name that's above every name. He is my author. He's my restorer. He's my everything. When you start saying the name of Jesus, then the devil has to flee. And then he seeks someone else. He just looks around. Who else can I mess with? You see. So the point here is we need to be balanced, but we also need to be cautious that, oh, the devil's trying to cause me to lose joy because of this situation. You know how to get through the shadow of the valley of death, how to get through of trial and tribulation? Don't let the devil rob your joy. Just say, you're not going to get me, devil. You're not going to get me down because something behind the scenes went wrong at the rodeo. The way you handle it is how you go through the valleys of the shadow of death. How you handle things. I'm trying to teach Seth in his roping to control his emotions. Because when you're competitive, right, and you don't do something right, you miss the steer or you lose. I mean, he come back first, second, and fourth high call at a roping, and the high call means he was the best on three steers. They missed, and it was Seth's fault. Well, what if that would have got his emotions to where he beat himself up, and then it caused the second and the fourth team to miss? You know what? No, I'm teaching him to control those emotions. If something goes wrong, remember what the word says? Forget those things that are behind you and press forward. Forget about that. In other words, well, he ended up winning second and third in the roping because he didn't allow his emotions to get out of check, you see. So there's got to be some caution that the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So just cast him out. Amen. Then the third thing is that you see in verse 9 is we need to withstand the enemy. Be immountable. I'm talking in every area of our lives, in rodeo, in marriages, in attitudes. We have to keep standing on the Word of God. We've got to withstand the enemy's attacks because, hey, you have Jesus on your side. And here's the last thing, and then we'll close. Verse 10. The God of grace has called us to the eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After ye have suffered a while, makes you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settles you. Listen to me. You've got to understand, no matter what you go through, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, God will strengthen you right in the middle of a trial and tribulation. He'll be able to cause you to have the attitude of, ha, if God be for me, who can be against me? Oh, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above this circumstance and I'm not going to get underneath it. That's what I've taught bull riders. I've taught the best in the world at bull riding when they used to say, well, I hope this is not the day I get hurt, because that's part of this event. You just get hurt. It's the world's most dangerous sport, bull riding. You know what I say? I say, listen to me. Come here for a minute. The Bible says right here in Genesis that you have dominion over all the animals, over all the creeping things that creeps on this earth. That bull is an animal. And you're getting on him. So why don't you use the Word of God and start speaking to that animal? You tell that animal to buck, but he's not going to hurt you because you have the wisdom of God. You don't have the spirit of fear of getting hurt, or the confession of when am I going to get hurt, because that's part of the sport. Why don't you change your confession, bull rider? Why don't you start saying, hey, I'm highly protected. I seek the kingdom of God. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will not fear any evil. That's Psalms 91, y'all. I mean, it's time we start living by this word, because the enemy is still attacking God's people and unbelievers. He's still attacking everybody. He's no respecter of persons. Don't think for one minute that you can serve the enemy, the devil, and that he won't mess with you. No, he'll kill you just as fast as he'll kill a believer that lets him. But when we're taught the Word of God, though, ooh, Jesus, when we're taught the authority that lives on the inside of us, that we can be an imitator of Jesus, we can do things like Jesus, we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. when we can live by the principles that will work, that are yes and amen. I'm telling you, if you will just live by the principles of God, not for just a short time. It's kind of like people say, yeah, I've tried this tithing stuff for 6 months. It don't work. And then I look at him and I say, well, how old are you? I'm 65. I tried it for 6 months. I said, well, you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to get those 64 and a half years out of you of unbelief. And why don't you just start trusting God instead of just trying something? Say amen. I mean, don't you think that'd be better? So the point is today, cast all your cares on Him. Don't let the enemy, no matter what you're going through. And if I went across this crowd, there will be tons of testimonies of what you might be going through. Get on through it. Get your old chest out and your shoulders back. You tell that devil that he don't have any authority over you as a believer. Yes, he's going to bring in your mind all the bad things you've done yesterday. Well, you tell him, I'm not moved by what I did yesterday. I thank God I live under grace and mercy and forgiveness, and every unrighteous thing is cleansed in Jesus' name. I'm the head and not the... See, the devil tries to make you think of all the bad, that you're not the perfect one right now, and God's just saying, hey, just serve me, man. Just serve me. And if you will, the kingdom is yours. Joy is there. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? You'll have joy. You'll have peace. You'll have long suffering, which is patience. You'll have all of that, and you won't have the works of the flesh. So today, it's time we buck it up. Yeah, maybe our bodies are tired. You should be me. I could use the excuse of tiredness and all that junk. Yeah, when you realize rain was coming in sideways in half the arena on Thursday while we were steer roping? You think that's moving me? I thank God we can get in the middle of the arena and stay halfway dry. So, whatever you're going through this morning, right now, through this prayer, let's start casting our cares upon God. Okay? So just in your mind, whatever you're going and you're in the middle of, let's turn it over to the Lord right now. Maybe it's you personally, or it's someone you know that is going through just a tough time in some area. It might be pressures in a business. It might be someone you know that's going through a tough time in their marriage, in their relationships. I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's finances. Whatever it is, right now is a good opportunity to trust the Lord. Amen? So, if you're going through something right now, you don't have to stand up. But if that's you, and or you know somebody, I want you just to place your hand over your heart. You just know someone, or you're going through it, and it might be little, but it might be big. If that's you, place your hand over your heart. Here's why I have you place your hand over your heart. Is we've got to start getting the belief system from our heads into our heart. Because when you do that, manifestation of healing, of breakthrough comes in Jesus' name. So we got to get it into your heart. If you have your hand over your heart, agree with me in this prayer, and everybody else that's not, you know, things are great in your life, then just believe with us in this prayer right now. Father, every person that has their hand over their heart, I thank you in Jesus' name for breakthrough. I thank you for manifestation of whatever they're believing you for. The Bible says you have not if you ask not. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that they begin to speak out of their mouth what they want. You said you would meet the need Whatever the need is, you said you would meet it according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Right now, I thank you, Lord, for the wants that you would cause manifestations. They want peace. They need peace. They want joy, but they need joy. They want breakthrough. Father, I thank you, Lord, they need it. They deserve it. They're your kids, sir. So get their faith up right now to believe that they receive. And then you said whatsoever they say to that mountain, that mountain's cast into the sea, they'll have whatsoever they saith. Just don't doubt in your heart. So Father, every person that is going through something, get them through it by their faith, by their confession. Speak the word of God. So Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord, that we have a whole church and people that are watching that are believers and not doubters. So, Father, thank you for breakthrough right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, look at me, but this is the so be it part. This is what stamps it. You ready? When you say amen, that stamps it. That's why the amen means so be it. So be it. That's why when you pray in Jesus' name. Now, Jody said in Christ's name, same thing. But I like it when people pray and they say with their mouth, in Jesus' name, because that's where the power is. So at the count of three, when we say amen, that's your faith rising up. So be it. That prayer's coming to pass now. Now faith. Hebrews 13. Now faith. Ready? One, we're saying amen. Two, three. Amen. All right, now give God glory. Come on, praise Him. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Praise you. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's time. There's no reason that you should be living on this earth without a Savior named Jesus. He can be your friend. He can be wisdom. He can be the one you cast cares on. I mean, but more than that, He's the only way to get to heaven. You can't be a good person and get to heaven, y'all, without Jesus. That's why Jesus died. That's why He died. He died so that every sin can be cast on Him. But He died because He's the only way. When He rose from the dead, y'all remember? He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. When you make Him the Lord of your life, you get to go to a place called heaven when we leave this earth, but then you can have heaven here by just serving Jesus. Well, the whole Bible is Jesus. Because remember, in John it says that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and He became the Word of God. So everything is Jesus. Not a preacher, not a denomination, not a church. We don't worship cowboy church, y'all. We worship Jesus. But is He the Lord of your life? If you left this earth and you stood before God and the Bible is really true, and I'm telling you it is, what would God say to you when you stand in front of Him? The Bible calls that the Great Judgment Day. And every single person on earth is going to hear it. Is going to hear God say one of two things. Either, well done, because Jesus is your Lord, come on into heaven. Or, if you choose not to receive Jesus, you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff, as I say. He'll have to say, because He's not a man that He can lie. He has to say, depart. I don't want Him to do that. I want Him to say, well done. But the only way for Him to say, well done, come on into heaven, is by receiving Jesus as Lord. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray a prayer. All the believers are going to pray this prayer with you if you've never have. But I want you to out loud, the mouth is going to speak this. I want you to ask Jesus to come into your life. I'll pray the prayer, you just repeat it. But when you pray it, mean it. And I'm telling you, if you pray and ask Jesus to come into your life, oh man, angels in heaven will rejoice. And heaven will be your home when you leave this earth. But more importantly even, you'll have heaven here. You'll have someone to cast cares upon. So if you're here this morning, you just don't know if you go to heaven or hell when you leave this earth, make heaven your home by receiving Jesus. Just simply pray this prayer. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth, according to Romans 10 and verse 9, that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And according to that word, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. I pray this prayer. I believe this prayer in Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that very prayer, simple prayer, and you asked Jesus to come into your life this morning, you meant it. I'm not talking about believers that are already born again. You already have Jesus as Lord. You don't have to do it again for fire insurance. If you gave your heart to Jesus, have faith that He's the Lord of your life. Matter of fact, the Bible says no man can steal your salvation. If you just gave your life to Jesus for the first time, I just want you to be bold enough not to come up front, not to do anything other than when I count to three to raise your hand up and say, God, I prayed that prayer and I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. If that was you, with boldness, we're not ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed to die on a cross for you. Don't be ashamed to acknowledge Him before me or people. If He just became the Lord of your life, when I say three, get that hand up and then just put it right back down with boldness. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Real fast, I want to get a Bible to those two that raised their hand. I'm proud of you. Now, she and he, those people that gave their heart to Jesus, they're my sister and brother in Christ. Now, y'all look at me. It's always good to have family members join salvation. Amen. Man, God, thank you. Thank you, sir, for all that you're doing here at Cowboy Church. Love you guys very much. Did y'all have a good time? All right, so let's go and know who you are in Christ. Every care is cast on Jesus. Amen. Love you, love you, love you. The only announcement...